Nationals 101, a podcast by Nats fans for Nats fans. I'm Susan.
And I'm Frank.
And welcome back, everybody.
No, welcome back to you. You were gone last time.
I was gone last time. I understand you had to do the intro.
Yeah, I did my best to you.
Yeah. Well, people don't understand, but that first line, that's like my line.
It is your line.
My line.
And it sets up the whole podcast, so...
You got to have a strong intro.
It was definitely a weaker intro, but we muddled through. It was only a 10-minute episode.
Well,
so.
I'm very glad to be back. So let's see. Let's talk about the Nats.
Yeah, let's talk about the Nats. We have a Nats update, and do you want to handle it?
You know, I think I'm going to take a stab at it this week.
Okay.
All right. So let's see. Since the All-Star break that ended in July 13th, the Nats have gone 26-12.
That's a fascinating stat.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I did not gather that stat. No. but that's pretty awesome. And we just finished an 8-2 road trip against the Astros and Diamondbacks and Giants. We were over there on the West Coast, which was actually kind of nice because the games didn't start until roughly 10 o'clock.
Right. So you're a big fall asleep to baseball person.
Yeah. So that was kind of perfect.
Yeah. It's kind of just.
You got to stay up until.
I actually only stayed up for a couple of the late games. I didn't stay up. For all of them.
Not too long.
Yeah.
But it's kind of nice that it starts at 10
And then there was that one afternoon game on Wednesday or something. But yeah.
But we finished that series 8-2. And we just won 2 out of 3 at home versus the Mets.
Yeah.
So right now we are currently 5 games ahead of the Braves.
Cinco.
Who are coming to town tomorrow night.
They are. This is the, of all the series, this is the biggest one now.
Yeah, the Braves have kind of turned out to be like our rival.
And I mean, at the All-Star break, you had the Marlins and the Mets kind of still in the mix, and then the Nats sort of just put their foot down on both those teams and some other teams. But the Braves, as hot as the Nationals have been, in 26-12, is absurd. I mean, you're winning 2/3 of your games. The Braves have been just as good because I think we were maybe somewhere between 3 and 5 games ahead of them at the All-Star break. So we haven't really gained any ground, but we've, you know, having that cushion, the later it gets, the harder it's going to be. And as a matter of fact, there are only 6 games against the Braves left. So being up 5, if we win just 1 this weekend, that would put us... So if we went 1-2 against them this week, there would be 3 games left, and the Nats would be 4 games up. So the Braves would no longer be able to simply win and get in. The Nats would have to. They would have to win on days the Nats were losing too. So getting 1 win this week is vital because you're going to sort of fully put yourself in the driver's seat. And if you can get 2 or 3 wins this week, all of a sudden you're up
better.
8 games,
yeah.
And that's a lot of games to make up with 40 something games left. Right. Not impossible, but this is a key series this weekend. So if you're going to spend time to go to the park at all.
Go out and root
this week for the Nationals hardcore.
So they're playing 3 this week, and then you said 6 games versus the Braves.
Yeah, they have another 3. They have another 3 in Atlanta, I think, in September, end of September. Which, you know, hopefully, if all goes according to plan, let's hope that that's an academic series by the end, and the Nats aren't really too worried about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're currently rocking and rolling.
They are. They're still number one.
Still number one overall. Number one in the East. Yeah, the Braves would be. The Braves would be winning a division if the division wasn't the National League East. They're better than they've got to be winning at least. They have to have, if they were in another division, I'd say 4 of them they'd have the best record right now. So,
well, that's what every second place person says. I'd be first if the guy in front of me wasn't first.
Exactly. Right. To highlight that they are in fact a really good team.
But you know what really baffles me is that we are number one right now in baseball, and last night we were at dinner at Restico. One of
Clarendon,
our favorite places. We love that place. And they had the Nats game on, many of their TVs, and then they also had the preseason football game on, the Redskins, obviously.
Yeah.
And no one was paying attention at all to the Nats whatsoever.
There were
cheers and everything for the preseason football game. It drove me nuts.
There were actual hoots and hollers for a touchdown in the absolute meaningless 3rd and 4th quarter of the preseason game. And while it wasn't a stunningly good game, it was a well-pitched game last night. The Edwin Jackson lost 2-0. And it was very clear that people sort of tuned in the 9th inning, but... For the rest of the game, no one was really watching, and you know, I feel like if the Nats had done anything good, you wouldn't have heard it. But it's a long uphill battle as far as becoming a baseball team.
Right, we are still on the bottom of the hill right now.
And I actually got into a good conversation with Next Year DC on Twitter at Next Year DC. good people at Next Year DC. But it came down to he sort of agrees with me that it's a question of educating the public, not in a "we told you so" way, but people don't have the lexicon or this is not a baseball town, and it hasn't been. And if you don't throw yourself into understanding how to watch baseball or what baseball is, you're not going to get it.
And that's why we are here.
That's what I told him. And he's like, yeah, well, then he totally gave us a plug, which is very nice.
Everyone. Yeah.
So, but I want to shout out because they seem like smart people.
Very good.
Yeah.
But let's see. We want to talk this week about the Strasburg shutdown. The Strasburg shutdown.
Who's he?
Yeah, right. Everyone's talking about it. Even both of our fathers have called us independently.
My father's is kind of a sports guy, and your dad's less of a sports guy than my dad. But they're both pretty.
They're on the periphery.
They're well into casual land of sports fans. And when it sinks down to them, the only thing left is if your mother had called us or my mother had called us and said, "What's with this Straspo guy?" They probably would have said Straspo.
That would have put it over the edge.
Yeah, but that when
if it hadn't gotten that
right
it's not over
by the time it seeped down to our fathers, that means that this story's been well saturated.
Absolutely,
we talked about it on Thursday night on Citizens of Natstown, which I was happy to guest.
Yeah, you did.
On, and we had a very good time with TJ and Dave. I definitely think that I was making not too many jokes, but a lot more jokes
you
than there used
joke?
To. Yes, I
never.
Yes, well, I got to make very
too many. What?
I got to make a Bab Pip joke with Sean, which is one day we'll talk about Bab Pip on the show. But it was a very anyway. Go check it out, citizensofnatstown.com. But we definitely opened their show with the Strasburg shutdown, and I want to do it here.
Yep.
I want to do it here, if only because I am so frustrated with this story. Not because it's not an important story, but because it's on all the time. If I put on the news, I get Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, and if I put on sports talk radio,
you get Strasburg.
I get Strasburg nonstop.
And it's been for the past couple of months too. It hasn't just been like this past week or whatnot. As we're doing really well, we're number one for the past couple of weeks.
Right.
It's been like all summer, even when we started getting good too. It's been the big talk.
It's been Strasburg or Robert Griffin III.
Yeah.
And,
oh God.
And which is fine. I mean, that should be a football conversation. Football should be kind of on the back burner right now when you're in a pennant race.
Right.
And the coverage of the Nationals should be better than just Strasburg shutting down. So we want to go through it kind of in a line item fashion today, where we're going to kind of start from the beginning and go through some of the stuff and make sure we're all on the same page. And certainly,
right, because I have some questions about options and reasoning and things like that. That
sure.
I know that you can help me with,
right?
You understand all this stuff, so
I don't understand all this stuff, but go ahead.
You know,
I research
much better
it
than I do. You research it, fine, whatever. Okay, so as we all know, Strasburg had the Tommy John surgery about 2 years ago.
Last
season, he was recovering from that. All season long, and so this season was his first season back. And he was put on an inning limit. No actual number as to how many innings.
Right.
But he was put on an inning limit. So, Frank, can you remind us what is Tommy John?
So Tommy John surgery is named after the baseball player Tommy John. And he he himself got the surgery in 1974. He was the first guy to get it. Spent 18 months rehabilitating before he came back. And he won 164 games after his surgery, retiring in 1989 at the age of 46. So he had won 124, I think, beforehand, and won another 164. So he had a very productive career after this. And what it is you get a tear in your ulnar collateral ligament, your UCL. That's in your elbow. And what they do is they take another longer, generally, and more flexible tendon to put in that in that ligament spot, because it can stretch more. The problem is when you throw it, it's that tear. And
is this a ligament that basically connects the top of your arm to the bottom of your arm?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
And what it is, usually it comes from your forearm or your hamstring or your hip or your, like that tendon. They take like the tendon out of your knee. And
the replacement ligament.
Yeah, and then they put it in your elbow. And basically it gives you a longer tendon in your elbow, and if you recover correctly, you're going to last a long time in baseball, because the surgery success rate is mixed, but it's certainly a lot better than it used to be. And you can plenty of Tommy John surgery people have come back to have excellent careers, including for those of us who really like baseball. I'll throw out some names like Jamie Moyer, A.J. Burnett was pretty good, Jabba Chamberlain. Well, Jabba isn't, I don't know. Ben Sheets, Brian Wilson, the beard, had this surgery.
Got beard.
Rick Ankiel, who was converted to an outfielder, he had that surgery, our buddy. And it's other sports people
so
have had it too.
So it's typically a successful surgery for pitchers. That
you can have a very successful correct. Surgery at this point, yes. And
okay.
Yeah.
So, but he had the surgery nearly 2 years ago. And
right.
He recovered all of last year.
And
so
he pitched like the last month of last year.
I remember
and
that.
And then he started normally this year, yes.
Right. But why can't he just pitch more this year? I mean, it's been 2 years.
Well, the reason you have an innings limit, and generally the innings limit is when you read these articles, you'll see that they're somewhere between 160 and 180 innings.
Innings, not games, innings.
Obviously, yeah, right. You only play 162 games, so it's innings pitched. And that's a rough estimate because it's really about how many pitches you throw. You know, so
right.
If you're throwing a lot of heavy pitches, you know, you are probably going to be on the lower end of that. If you're getting out of games sooner, you might be on the higher end of that. It also depends, as this entire discussion does, on what your doctors say. You know, that's the sort of linchpin, is that even though we're going to talk about it, it really is only ever up to what the medical professional who's
sure.
in charge
this
of your health.
Right.
But you do that because your body, just the act of being a pitcher regularly requires a stamina training. So going from high school to college or high school to the pros or college to the pros, you're still on kind of an innings limit because your body's just not used to throwing that much.
Right.
And if you've had a terrible surgery like this that's very, you know, pressing on your body and it takes a huge toll, well, frankly, you're still in recovery the year that you're pitching. So he's not actually healthy right now. It's a weird thing to say when you see him throw. But he's
still recovering.
He's not fully recovered. This is part of the recovery.
Right.
And that rest period that happens is going to make him stronger the next year. Just like when you know, if anybody who works out or runs, like you do your big hard activity one day and you work a different part of your body the next day, or you take a rest day because those muscles are torn during the workout and then they rebuild
mm-hmm.
when you're resting.
That makes
so
sense.
That's where he is. He's at a point now where Mike Rizzo has said that, and it's not, you know, people say it's Mike Rizzo's decision, and it is Mike Rizzo's decision, but it's his decision based on what doctors have told him.
Medical professionals.
And where they are is they're watching him, and they're watching the velocity of his ball, of his pitches, and they're looking for signs of fatigue. And as he gets closer to this 160 to 180 range, he's going to have the plug pulled.
All right.
Yeah.
So we don't have an actual number of innings.
They haven't come out and said it. A lot of people, based on past practices, sort of assume this amount.
Right. So you just explained it very well about, you know, why you'd want to cap the inning limit. But I was just kind of floating some other ideas in my head about, you know, maybe some alternatives. For example, what?
Oh, you came up with these. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah. Me and other people, I guess. So why couldn't you pull him now, have him rest a little bit, keep him training just, you know, but lighter, not put him through the stress of game day situations.
Okay.
And waited until we're in the postseason so that we could use him in the postseason and the World Series.
Okay.
So why not rest him like that?
That's one idea. Give me a couple of your other ideas because I have a weird feeling that I'm going to give you the same answer for a lot of them.
Okay. Fair enough. Couldn't you just skip some starts?
Meaning sort of instead of him throwing every fifth day, he'd get one start off and then maybe get a 9-day break.
Something like that.
Okay.
And something that goes a little bit hand in hand with that, maybe use a 6-day rotation instead of the regular five.
So have an extra starter come in
mm-hmm. so
and he'd pitch every 6 days, which would push him off a little bit more.
Right.
Okay.
So those are basically my three suggestions or questions.
Right. The reason that you can't do any of that, here's the thing. I think if the Nationals had thought that they were going to be certainly and definitely in a pennant race, they might have started him later at the beginning of the year, not in spring training. I don't know if that's really would have worked because the regimen of the everything I understand about it is that when you're training and rebuilding all this mass, you have to do things on a schedule. So the only opportunity that they might have had would have been at the very beginning of the year to sort of start him late and let him get through into the postseason.
Okay.
But at the time, they just wanted him to start because they had no clue where they were going to be.
I'm sure.
So that boat's kind of sailed. As for stopping him now, the problem is that when you're on the disabled list, what would happen? They would put him on the disabled list and shut him down. You're still working. when you're not starting as a pitcher, when it's not your day to start or your day to pitch, you still do stuff. You
right, have you don't a rest for 5 days.
You have a rest day, and you then you do some, you know, weights the next day probably, and then a lot of guys do what's called long toss, where they throw the ball, you know, and it's sort of like this exercise about throwing. So you're still throwing all the time, even when you're not pitching. All of those throws are adding on to the fatigue of your arm. And when you do that, you would either keep him throwing constantly, in which case, when he's on the DL, excuse me, I'm sorry, when he's on the DL, he'd either be throwing constantly, which would sort of defeat the purpose to keep him warm, or if you let him cool down completely, well, the ramp-up process, you actually do more throws. And to get him back to where he was, you'd sort of nullify any sort of... any sort of
kind of like you work
rest.
Out really hard for a month, take a week off, and you're screwed.
Right. You take a week off, man, that Monday's hard, right? But it, so you're either continuing to do the same thing, or you've got to exert extra energy to get yourself back to where you were. So in either case, that's going to be a wash. With the ideas of skipping starts, it's the same kind of thing with the six-man rotation in that
you're still practicing, you're still throwing, you're still using your arms. And
it is, but it's also the question of, you know, if you want to be a good runner, you have to practice running. And if you want to be a good five-day rotation guy, you have to get your body used to starting every 5 days. You know, so a six-man start, if you're not going to do that constantly,
it's pointless.
Right. They sort of, you know, science and medicine now is where it says we know how to treat pitchers who are starting more or less every 5 days. And a healthy pitcher can skip a start or maybe miss a day or two or get an extra day of rest because their body's used to that. They've been, you know, like they're a marathon runner. If you take a week off as a marathon runner, you're not going to lose your whole ability to run a marathon. But a person who's in recovery, that's a much tougher thing to do because you're not as – the strength isn't as built up. So there's a lot of questions where you could actually do more injury to Steven Strasburg and all the other pitchers on the staff who are used to doing a five-day rotation. If you're skipping starts or
that's
you're doing a six-man rotation,
now
you're jeopardized. Right. Now you're jeopardizing Gio Gonzalez and Jordan Zimmermann and whoever else is going to be your starting pitcher. So there's a lot of problems with monkeying with that. And, you know, again, different managers and different teams might come out and say, you know what, that's worth the risk. We're happy to do that. Mike Rizzo's pretty much said, this is what the doctor said. And, you know, since February, when we started talking about this, this has been the game plan all along. We're not going to monkey it around. So, yeah, that's why you wouldn't do any of those suggestions.
So really the only option is to shut him down. Just stop him.
Yeah, I mean, you could let him go, but that's not what this team's going to do. This team is, you know, Mike Rizzo said since February, I'm going to follow the advice of doctors, and that's what we want to do. And we want to treat our players and our teams in this way to maximize the potential for Steven to have a long career here rather than a short one. You know, I mean, there's no guarantees either way. I think that's important to say, too, but which we can talk about more in a second, I think.
Right. So what really is the risk of letting him go through the rest of the season?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's sort of a – it's not a crapshoot, but there's an idea that you could let him go and it could all work out fine because there's sort of no – I like to think about it. You remember, you ever hear somebody from like a talking about climate change and they say, well, you don't really know. Like all the science points to the idea that maybe there's climate change, but we don't really know that we're affecting climate change, so I'm just going to continue to – pollute the sky or whatever. I think that's what some people are saying when they're saying, well, there's no real evidence, hard evidence that says that you're going to hurt him by letting him continue to pitch, even though there's evidence that points towards it. So we're just going to let him go. The risk is he could end up pitching instead of 160 innings, he could end up pitching, you know, a number one starter who goes through, or even the number three guy who goes through the entire postseason. And let's say he ends up pitching in, like in the postseason, they have all full game series, five games, seven games. You're talking 240 to 260 innings. So
a substantial amount.
So instead of like a regular like 30% increase, which is what you're trying to do year to year until you max out at whatever, you'd be talking at like an 80% increase. You could be pitching 80 to 100 more innings per year, which is almost, you know, two-thirds of what...
Like, yeah, exactly.
Right, so that's a lot. That's a
lot of stress on the arm.
And if it breaks, it's done. You know, the first Tommy John surgery, there's a pretty good success rate. The second time you got to do it, you're going to start running out of tendons, you know, to put in your elbow. And the success rate after the second one's pretty bad. So the risk is medical, and it's a it's his livelihood, really. I mean, that's sort of the risk. Yeah.
All right.
I think it's a high risk. Personally, I think it's a high risk. And you know, I'm not
Rizzo. We trust, right?
In Rizzo, we trust. Yeah, I'm not a doctor at all, but I trust the fact that he trusts the right people.
The right people, and I'm sure he has a team of people.
More than one doctor, yeah, absolutely, exactly. And a training staff, and you know,
telling him the same thing.
Right, and all accounts are that Stevens had, you know, something to say. They've listened to him anyway. I don't think they're going to do what he wants, but I mean, I think everybody's getting listened to. They're just sort of, they know what the right answer is.
Sure,
for them, yeah.
Trust it from there. But where does all this pressure come from for him to keep on pitching?
And yeah, it comes from...
I mean, the media's just been going crazy with it.
Yeah, as I said, it's sort of been everywhere. I think that there's two factors in what's going on. The first is that on a national scale, the Nationals, on a countrywide scale, the Nationals have been irrelevant for a long time. And the... first time that they became relevant really after they moved in was when Steven Strasburg came in, and then the second time was Bryce Harper, and the third time is now. It's well past the All-Star break, and they're in first place of the whole league, not just leading their division. So you have all these people who haven't had to watch the Nationals for a long time. They've been busy watching Yankees-Red Sox games or Angels-Dodgers games or, you know, all the marquee teams that their baseball's used to seeing, and now they have to write stories about the Nationals because they're winning. And I think that it's sort of shallow because they just don't know the team very well. There's a whole bunch of really interesting stories, you know, with the team. He's not even the only – Strasburg's not the only pitcher whose inning limits you got to worry about. Jordan Zimmerman's only 2 years removed, and you generally want to – from Tommy John surgery, and you only want to go up like 30% at a time. And if he ends up pitching through the playoffs, he's going to end up doing a 50% increase. Yeah, it's a big deal. Not 50, like 40. But
it's a big deal because people know Strasburg's name.
Right. So I think part of it is a national media that doesn't know what to talk about. And it's the only...
Shocking. That's shocking. News people don't know what to talk about.
And it's like a lot of...
You fill 24-hour
right.
a day coverage.
I have a real problem with the idea that there's 24-hour news is... 24-hour news itself is a problem. 24-hour sports news is
ridiculous.
Is a ridiculous problem, especially when you're going to do the same story every hour.
Never.
You know, and you have to hear... So, and then what you do is if you're a talking head... you can just sort of say what you want to say because you're not actually paid to be a journalist to be on ESPN for the most part. You're paid to read a teleprompter and espouse an opinion, which leads to guys like Rob Dibble, who used to work with the team, saying, you know, and it's sort of like this, the pressure mentality comes from this ex-jock, suck it up, don't be a pansy, everything for your team mentality that says, if you have a chance to win the World Series, you have to do it. And you have guys like Dick Vitale, who, if you don't know, is a basketball commentator, but a baseball fan, wants to talk about not shutting Strasburg down. Mike Wise, who's a local guy. That's the other thing. The local guys would rather be, sadly, for the most part, talking about the Redskins. You know,
sure.
It took them forever to come around and talk about the Caps when the Caps were good.
Yeah, we're
and they
sure
still
what
the
team,
don't. They're the like most... 5 years later, they still don't know how to talk about hockey. You know,
so
they
true.
Don't.
You're
they
right.
have they have guys come in and like you know ex basketball coaches or ex football players, and they just sort of say, "What do you think?" And then they let the beat writers talk about it. If you want to get good Nationals coverage, you got to go to the beat writers like Zuckerman and Komak and like the guy and Byron Kerr, my favorite. You know, Phil Wood, like the guys who are there every day at the park and who actually like baseball, they're excellent writers.
And who know baseball. Not
they're not
like
the
it,
problem.
They know it.
The problem is that, you know, Mike and Mike and, you know, PTI, as great as PTI is, I mean, it's just like that's part of the problem. They only know, they can only focus on the biggest part of the story.
And that's what's being filtered to the nation.
Yeah, that's what's getting, so that's what right. That's what your dad and my dad is seeing.
Right, exactly.
You know, and so my dad calls and he's like, how can they think about shutting him down? And I explained it to him and he seemed like, oh, this is pretty reasonable, you know, what you're saying. But you don't get any of that. You get Steven Strasburg is letting his team down. You get that Mike Rizzo should be removed from, you know, because you know. And the other thing is it's always this do or die. It's sort of like they're setting up these, you know, in my philosophy class when I used to teach, we used to talk about these fallacies and these things that would, you know, these slippery slopes or these, you know, post hoc ergo propter hoc, after this, therefore, because of this, you know, and you can, as a talking head, there's no accountability to just say, well, if the Nationals had Steven Strasburg, they would probably win the World Series versus shutting him down and not having any chance to win the World Series. And really, neither one of those propositions is true. It's not a guaranteed thing that they'd win with him.
Right, absolutely.
And it's certainly not a guaranteed thing
it's
that
not
they
if this, then that. That's
it's absolutely right. not. But when you're a talking head, you can boil it down to this simplistic
You can boil it down to the
garbage,
that, right?
And no one can say different to you because you have the microphone and you don't have to take any phone calls from people that you don't want to listen to.
Right.
So you get a lot of not, and the other one is the you know, you never know argument. Well, you never know, and if you shut them down, you'll never know what could have happened. And it's like, yeah, you never know what's going to happen any time in life. You know, you never know what's going to happen, and you just have to make the best decisions you can with the information at hand. And people don't, it's not good talk radio to make the best decision with the information at hand. So that's where
they have to have some sort of drama to feed
the pressure is coming from, the fact that they need to fill a 24-hour sports day with radio, and that
there you go.
It is and it's a unique story. I don't want to say it's not. I mean, I don't think this has ever happened on a first place team before, but it's still not an everyday story the way it has been for the last month and will be for the next couple of months. And you can market, you can have the Nationals get into the playoffs and lose. And if they lose, it's going to all boil down to Steven Strasburg didn't pitch. Even if the guy, like, let's say we had John Lannon replace him, right? Even if Gio Gonzalez and Jordan Zimmermann lose all the games that are important, who would have pitched anyway, whether Strasburg was in there or not? It'll boil down to
Strasburg wasn't in there
and what would have been. And so,
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we've had many conversations. I know, you're getting really riled up. take a couple deep breaths.
I'm more riled up. I'm more insulted by the fact that it's just not sound logical talk.
Well, I don't think people understand that because they don't have the other facts of what the situation, that's actually kind of my next question / topic of talking about. We've had conversations at the dinner table,
right?
About the actual pitching statistics. When you look at the pitching statistics, my question to you is, when they pull him, how big of a deal is this really going to be? Because
right.
In my opinion, and again, you folks out there know, I don't have a lot of baseball knowledge, but even I can look at the statistics and say, this isn't really going to be that huge of a deal.
There's a lot of ways to look at it, and I don't want to say it's not a big deal.
Right, but it's not like it's not what the media is making it out.
No. To listen to the media, and there's a great picture that I think Jack O'Beam did he photoshopped Steven Strasburg's head onto all the other starters because it feels like the Nationals only have one pitcher.
Right.
When in reality, they have three Cy Young candidates, and that's the award for the best pitcher in the league. You know, Gio Gonzalez and Jordan Zimmermann have both been talked about and will be talked about throughout the
year.
Right, exceptional stuff. So we talked a little bit about some statistics that we're going to talk about here. I just want to go over some of the easy ones. Obviously, but the point is, I don't want to say Steven Strasburg is not a good pitcher. He's an excellent pitcher.
Of course,
there's no there's no staff in baseball that wouldn't want Steven Strasburg on their team. But I just wanted to talk about how some of the stuff. Gio Gonzalez got his 16th win tonight. Strasburg has 14 wins, and Jordan Zimmermann has 9. Now,
so when you look at just the wins, Gonzalez is over Strasburg.
Right. Let me go through a couple of these, and then if you look at starting pitcher's ERA, which is earned run average, mm-hmm. which is we talked about it.
The hires. Bad.
Hires bad, right? It's how many runs on average are you giving up over 9 innings?
Right.
So Jordan Zimmermann's giving up 2.38, Strasburg 2.91, and Gio Gonzalez 3.29, which that probably went down a bit today. I'm looking at yesterday's stats. All of which are really good ERAs. ERAs and wins are a little bit misleading because they depend. Wins are definitely misleading because it depends on how your team did and when you were in and all that stuff. But Strasburg, again, is second, you know, and he's got an excellent one. But it's, you know, when you're talking about hits given up, Detweiler has 108. Of course, he has
hits.
Yeah, given up 113 for Gonzalez, 115 for Strasburg. Earned runs, home runs, intentional walks, strikeouts. Strikeouts is all Steven Strasburg, 173. Gio Gonzalez, 158. Edwin Jackson, 121. ERA plus WHIP. Okay, WHIP is walks and hits. So these are some of the stats that
we
talked about previously. And then here's a couple of others that sort of people use to really get at pitchers that beyond some of the basic statistics. So it's a little heavier. Walks and hits per inning pitch. So it's basically how many guys per inning are guys getting on base. And the whip, as we like to say, the top starting pitcher is Jordan Zimmermann with 1.086. So just over one guy per inning is getting on base against Jordan Zimmermann, which, as you know, if only one guy's getting on base, that's pretty good. Strasburg is next with 1.127, also excellent, but again, not first. Strikeouts per nine innings, that's going to be Strasburg again, 11.2. Walks per one more, and then we'll stop. I'll just go all day. Jordan Zimmermann has 4.22 strikeouts per walk, or bases on balls. Strasburg has 4.12. So that's how many strikeouts. So for every one walk that Strasburg gives up, he's striking out 4.12 guys.
Nice, okay.
And 4.22 for Zimmermann. And Gonzalez, who's the third best pitcher, is 2.82, which is not nearly as good, but it's still better than whatever.
But you, trying to wrap my head around all those numbers that you just threw out there, I mean, it takes a village.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
It takes a village. And there are five starting pitchers. We have a really great pitching staff. And Strasburg did not get us to where we are now.
One guy did not get – the two things to take away from that is, first of all, yeah, there are other starting pitchers. And second of all, the other two guys, even if they're not first or second or third all the time, wherever they are, they're all
there.
Doing
really
they're
well.
All within like half a point of something on each
Seriously,
other. Or,
it's
you
amazing.
Know, one earned run. There was a really nice one. So one game started. The Strasburg has started 24 games, and they've won 14 of those games, mm-hmm. lost five, and then he got a no decision. So you talk about 19 games that they won or they got no decision with him. That's out of 110 now.
Right.
So if you
Less
took,
than 25%.
Right, there's another statistic, which is really hard to explain how it's calculated. I don't fully understand how it's explained. It's called WAR, wins above replacement. And what it is, it's a very complex formula. You can look it up on baseballreference.com, baseball-reference.com. It's an excellent website whenever you're looking at statistics. But what it does is it talks about, okay, here you have this exceptional player. And then there's whatever the average player at that position would do. And then there's whoever, like, your next guy up would be. So you have Steven Strasburg. And then if they didn't have Steven Strasburg, they have John Lannan, right? Let's mm-hmm. say if Strasburg didn't start, John Lannan would be pitching in his stead. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, the average, I don't know, starting pitcher. So you take, like, a grouping of John Lannan and the average pitcher, and you mush them all up. And then you compare that. You put all his numbers in. And you compare those to Strasburg's numbers in his starts, and you could say, if the John Lannan / average player hybrid started those games instead of Steven Strasburg, they would have won X number of games versus Steven Strasburg won more games. So it's a way of saying, how much better than average is he? What I saw when we did that, or we looked at, I did a very basic one, just throwing in John Lannan's numbers on average versus that. It looks like Strasburg was worth four more wins than John Lannan, which is a lot of wins for one pitcher, but it's not a lot of wins for one season. If the Nats were four wins less, they would currently be one game ahead of the Braves and leading the National
place.
League East.
Yeah.
They might not be the best team in baseball, but they would be most likely controlling, you know, in the lead for the National League East. There's evidence to support that. Obviously, we don't know that's the case, but, you know.
Right.
Right. So there's the idea that even though he's a great pitcher and he's going to be a better pitcher than he is now, there's still two excellent pitchers on this staff who in 5 and 7 game series and throughout the rest of the year are going to be able to pitch on this team, which is not even talking about how well Edwin Jackson and Ross Detweiler have actually been pitching. So, you know, is it a big deal? You never want to not have Steven Strasburg if you can help it. But, you know, they're going to be okay. Gio Gonzalez, Jordan Zimmermann, and Edwin Jackson / Ross Detweiler are good enough to beat anybody. So,
and that's not even mentioning our relief pitchers
or the best bullpen, right. And then the fact that a lot of the series that we've lost so far this year came against an unhealthy national team like the Pirates and Dodgers.
True.
You know, this is the first time that the entire batting order is sort of healthy.
That's right. The only person who's out is Ramos, right?
Ramos, yeah, and he's done. And you've got Kurt Suzuki filling in for him and whatnot.
Right.
But, yeah, this is the first time where you sort of got – a top-to-bottom team that's healthy, you know, and you're going to lose a pitcher, but, you know, you're going to lose one pitcher.
So the takeaway from this is, yes, it'll be a shame when he's gone, but we have an excellent pitching staff, an excellent team in general, and there's, it's not going to be this crazy fallout that the media is portraying it to be.
Most likely not, no. And there's no reason why Gio Gonzalez or Jordan Zimmermann should be affected by his leaving. You know, there's two excellent pitchers that can hold their own against pretty much anybody. I personally don't think that Strasburg has been the best pitcher this year. I think he's been the third best pitcher or the second best pitcher on an excellent staff. You know, he'd be the best pitcher on 25 teams right now. Steven Strasburg today would be the best pitcher on 25 teams. Five of those teams he wouldn't be, and one of them is the Nationals.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Yeah, I think that the takeaway is don't. You know, the sky's not going to fall. And enjoy it. It doesn't, you know.
Enjoy the ride. We're doing so great.
This team went from 61 wins to 71 wins. They went from back-to-back 100 loss seasons to 71 wins 2 years ago to 80 wins last year. And I think we're at 75 tonight. So we're 5 games away from equaling last year with a whole month and a half to go. In seven wins, you're going to be above 500 for the first time this year. There's an excellent chance they're going to make the postseason. Everything this year is gravy.
Rock on.
You know?
And that's what we like.
We do. It's okay to play today and live for tomorrow. You know? You're allowed. This franchise is good enough to plan for the long haul and not feel like they, you know, they don't have a bunch of old pitchers and old position players that only have a year or two left. And you know what? You're just going to have to throw this guy out there because this is your last chance to win. Cough, cough, Phillies. You know, this is a young team that, for all intents and purposes, is on the upswing. And if it's not on the upswing and they collapse the next couple of years, well, you know what? Steven Strasburg starting this year or not isn't going to matter. Like, that team is going to die anyway. So, you know, make the best decision you can with the information available. And that decision, as far as I'm concerned and as far as doctors in the front office seems to be concerned, is, you know, shut them down, do what you can this year. And live to fight for the next 10 years.
There you go.
So
awesome. Well, that was fun.
Oh, good.
And hopefully people thought that was informative. I thought it was informative, especially, you know, the other day when you showed me the numbers and I was like, oh yeah. So that was,
we didn't even get to do my medicine example or my
that's okay. Frank had this really great.
We'll put metaphor. It after the music. Yeah. We'll do it now.
Sure, we will. Okay. Okay. Well, it's getting late and I have to go back to school tomorrow. So,
congratulations on going back to work tomorrow.
No, I don't want to go back.
Yeah, school back for you.
Yeah, I have to say goodbye to summer now.
Okay, well, that's okay because the summer is over, almost over, and the best baseball is played in the fall. So
there you go.
There we go.
All right. Well, enjoy everyone's evening or whatever time of day you're listening to this. And
you can get a hold of us at Nationals101 on Twitter. Email us nationals101@gmail.com. You can find us on citizensofnatstown.com. Click on the right side where it says Nationals101. All our podcasts will be there. And you can search for us on iTunes, Nationals101. Like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nationals101, all one word in all those cases. All those great ways to get a hold of us. I want to give away baseball cards. I have a bunch of extra Nationals, so I'm going to start doing mini contests on places. And, you know, maybe we'll have, like, the best fill-in-the-blank or something.
Well, you do have a lot of extra baseball cards now that you have your own private set coming to you.
Yeah.
Just in case you guys didn't know,
People don't care.
Well, whatever. I care.
Okay.
Frank has won for the past 2 years in a row the Ginter Code. I can't at all explain it to you, so don't ask me to. But it involves baseball and baseball cards and...
that was not even worth saying. Yeah, that wasn't even worth saying.
Don't cut that out, Frank.
Definitely.
Don't edit it out. No.
Okay. I won a national contest the last 2 years for baseball cards. Anybody who's interested, send me an email
there
or write it on the Facebook page. We'll talk about it there.
There you go.
But I do have extra Nationals baseball cards, and I feel like giving some of them away.
We'll think of some ways we can get that done.
Anything else?
I think we're done.
Okay. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Okay, so my medicine example.
Oh, jeez.
Come on, let's do the medicine example.
Use like strep throat or something.
Okay.
Antibiotics in general.
Right. So, yeah. So, if you have so the Strasbourg ending shutdown is like one of two things. The first one is if you've ever been sick, let's say you have strep throat, but it's a really bad case of strep throat. It's like African death strep throat or something. And, you know, you get your medicine for 10 days, 3 pills a day. And your doctor says if you take that, you'll be cured. And really, when a doctor tells you that, it's because after the first 8 or 9 days, you'll actually be cured, most likely. Those last days, just sort of like overreach to make sure that the stuff is finally out of your system. But there's a good chance that if you were to stop taking your medicine on day 8 or day 9, you'd actually be healthy. And let's say that you had some sort of big party coming up, you know, your 30th birthday party or something, 9 days after you started taking this medicine, and your medicine unfortunately says, don't take out with alcohol.
I would stop taking my medicine at a party.
Okay.
Like I was 30.
Now,
hey-o.
Well, right. So your options are take your medicine and get healthy and kind of miss this party.
Don't miss the party.
Now you're sounding like the national media. Just hang in there. So take your medicine and miss the party, but get healthy. Stop taking your medicine and run the risk of not being healthy and, you know, getting sick. And then, of course, when you get back now, this medicine is not going to work because the bacteria has built up an immunity to it. So now you got to go in for a surgery or some nonsense, and maybe you're crippled.
We've gone from African strep throat to crippled. I have a feeling my father's going to have a problem with all the time frames and the
dosage. Yeah, well, he's probably going to say definitely you need to take your entire medicine.
Well, doctors always do tell you when you take an antibiotic that, you know, we're giving you 10 days worth. You'll probably feel better at day 4, but can always take it.
Yeah, it might be better. Maybe you feel better on day 6 and you really want to go to some party, you know? But on day 6, it's like, you're talking about, you know, screwing up your medicine for the next 4 days and ruining and risking your health, you know? So there's a big question of adults at some point, I think, make the decision that this party isn't really as important as me being healthy.
Still go. You just can't drink.
Right. Well, that's obviously where the example breaks down. But the idea is that you could put off your medicine and maybe be okay. You know, maybe you are cured, but it's kind of a risk you're
running. Healed.
Exactly. The other one was the fridge example where, you know.
I like the fridge example.
Yeah, I think the fridge example is a little more point. Yeah. You open it up and there's the yogurt and the yogurt's 3 days past the due date. The due date is always short, you know. Like if yogurt's going to go bad in a week from when it's packaged, they'll put a due date of like 4 or 5 days on it just for a liability reason to cover themselves, which is why you open it up after they and smell it. And if it smells okay, you're probably okay. However, after the due date, you are running the risk of actually getting sick after eating something. And that's just sort of where the Strasbourg example is. Could he be fine if he kept pitching? He could be fine. Who knows? But
you're
what?
Running the risk
all
of
the evidence on the
Montezuma's revenge.
Exactly. Exactly. All the evidence is saying you don't want to spend the rest of the season on the toilet. And I think that's a great place to cut off our little bonus coverage.
This will be after the music, right?
After the music.
Okay.